Thank you. You know, we're coming to a Yovel. A Yovel has to do with, or in English we call that Jubilee. In just a short time, Israel will have been in control of Jerusalem, for 50 years. It's been their capital. And most of the world does not accept Jerusalem being as Israel's capital. They want to see Israel divided. They want to see East Jerusalem belonging to a Palestinian state, that it would be a capital of Palestine. But Jerusalem is the undivided, God-given, eternal capital of Israel, and no one's going to change that. No one's going to change that. That's why it's so important for the United States, President Trump, to move the embassy to Jerusalem. People say, why is it so important? Why can't the embassy just stay in Tel Aviv? As long as it's in Tel Aviv, it's the same as saying Jerusalem's not your capital. But when we move the embassy to Jerusalem, we're acknowledging that this is the internal capital of Israel that God established thousands of years ago. And why do I mention that besides loving the Lord and loving Israel and all that? Because the Torah portion for today talks about a jubilee. And the portion I'm talking about is in Leviticus 25. If you have your bulletins, you can see that we actually have a double portion, which you'll learn about later, but there's a portion that deals mainly with the Yovel or the year of Jubilee. And for those of you who wonder, what does that word Yovel mean? It doesn't mean Jubilee. Wherever that came from, that's not from the Hebrew. It actually means ram's horn. Did you know that? Yovel means ram's horn. So what is a ram's horn and the Yovel and the Jubilee? What does that all mean for us? Well, it says in Leviticus 25, and who has the scriptures with them? Who has them? Who does not have any scripture with them today? Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm going to parade you up front here and... No. Anyway, there's some extra under the seats. There are some scriptures under the... There you can find. But anyway, in Leviticus chapter 25, starting at verse 9 and through 10, it says, "Then have the shofar sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement," which is Yom Kippur. "So we are to blow this shofar on Yom Kippur, and it's to be blown throughout the land, throughout that Day of Atonement. And it says that you are to consecrate this 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee," but in the Hebrew, a yovel. "It should be a sounding of the ram's horn." That's what it means. "For you, each of you is to return to his own family property, and each of you is to his own clan." So I just pray that as Israel is celebrating their 50th jubilee, or yovel, the sounding of the ram's horn of having Jerusalem as their capital, I just pray that this is prophetic, that we would truly see liberty proclaimed throughout the land, but not just a physical liberty. You know, it's easy to have physical liberty where you're not imprisoned or you're not under bondage, or maybe you don't have an enemy around you. But I'm talking about spiritual liberty. I want to see spiritual Israel proclaimed throughout. Oh, what did I say? Spiritual Israel? Spiritual liberty proclaimed throughout the land of Israel. I want to see all Israel saved. And I pray as we will be celebrating this jubilee, this 50th year of Israel having Yerushalayim, that this will be an awakening that takes place in the land. You know, when Israel was in the Six-Day War, as Irene mentioned earlier, I remember that. I was only a young boy at the time. I was probably about 11 years old. I remember that. I remember I was in Hebrew school when I really first learned about it, because everyone was getting pushka cans. You know how we have a pushka in the back during the Torah service, that we go and put our coins and dollars in the pushka and we use that to help other people? They were passing out cans, pushkas, for all the kids to take so that they could go throughout their neighborhoods and collect money so it could be all be sent to Israel to help them during the war. I remember that very vividly, how much I wanted one of those pushkas so I could do the same thing as well. And by the way, not that I was going to mention it, but boy, our pushka back there is kind of running dry. Don't forget that we use that to help one another here as well. We see this word Yovel also used in the book of Exodus, chapter 19 and verse 13. And there, this is while the children of Israel are encamped around Mount Sinai, and God is about to give them the Torah, His word. And it says in Exodus 19, verse 13, only when the Yovel, only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, may you go up to the mountain. If you went beforehand, you died. But when that shofar was blown, there was liberty. There was that freedom that you could go to the mountain and worship God. The Torah indicates that we are to start on the 10th day of the 7th month, the month of Tishri. However, how can we have a year starting in the middle of the month? A year of Jubilee on the 10th day. It's in the middle of the month. And there's various passages in the Talmud and the writings of the Jewish people that help us understand this. Basically, the Yovel begins on the first day of the 7th month, which is we know as Rosh Hashanah. But the slaves do not return to their own land till the shofar is sounded. The shofar sounding is what brings about the freedom and the liberty. And that takes place on the 10th of the month. And that Day of Atonement brings that sanctification and inaugurates the Yovel, or that year of Jubilee, where it says in verse 10, consecrate or sanctify the 50th year. But you know, Israel failed to keep the Jubilee, that Yovel, year after year after year. We fail year after year after year to do what God tells us to do. It's inevitable. I mean, we're human beings. We always do things our way. Sometimes we just close our ear and our eyes to God. God tells us year after year, tries to remind us all the time, but we still don't always listen. But Israel, they failed to fulfill from the very beginning the requirement for the 7-year Shabbat for the land, which was the Shemitah. It was a year of release. And they failed to keep the Yovel, the 50th year, which was the ram's horn, the year of freedom and liberty. We read in the book of Jeremiah, which is a really good book, Jeremiah, chapter 34. Does everyone turn there? In Jeremiah 34, verse 13 through verse 17, Jeremiah 34, 13, it says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I made a covenant with your forefathers when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I said, every 7th year each of you must free any fellow Hebrew who has been sold to you. And after he has served 6 years, you must let him go free. Your fathers, however, they didn't listen to me or pay attention to me. Recently you repented and you did what is right in my sight. That's good. Each of you proclaimed freedom to his countrymen. You even made a covenant before me in the house that bears my name, in the temple. But now you have turned around, you have profaned my name. Each of you has taken back your male and female slaves that you had set free. You have forced them to become your slaves again. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. This is some heavy words here. Y'all listening now? This is what the Lord says. You have not obeyed me. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You have not obeyed me. You have not proclaimed freedom for your fellow countrymen. So now I proclaim freedom for you, declares the Lord. Freedom to fall by the sword, by plague, and by famine. I will make you abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth. So he's just saying, okay, you have disobeyed me too many times. You have not freed, proclaimed liberty as you were supposed to. So now, I'm going to proclaim freedom, but not for you, for your enemies, so that they can overtake you and destroy you because of disobedience. God warned what he would do in response to that disobedience of Israel. We also see in the Torah portion from today, Leviticus 26 and verses 33 and 34. I will scatter you among all the nations and will draw out my sword and pursue you. God is saying, I will draw out my sword and pursue you. Your land will be laid waste and your cities will lie in ruins. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbath years all the time that it lies desolate, and you are in the country of your enemies. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Shabbats. You know, the 70 years that the Jewish people were in what's known as the Babylonian captivity. This is when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. The people of Judah and Benjamin were taken away as slaves to Babylon. And for 70 years, they were in Babylon. And they wept and they cried because they were away from their land. They were away from Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed. They had no hope anymore. It would seem as though a people pulled away from their country and their faith and their system of approaching God being destroyed, that they would dissolve as a people, but they maintained who they were as a people. And the same thing for the 2,000 years that the Jewish people were away from the land of Israel. When Titus destroyed Israel, Jerusalem, and the second temple, and the Jewish people were dispersed over all the nations of the world, the Jewish people, wherever they were, they would sing songs like we sing the Hatikvah that talks about eyes gazing eastward to Zion looks the Jew, searching and looking and hoping to return to the land of Israel. And God allowed that to take place. In 1948, it was a miracle what God did, restoring the people back to the land. And then God giving the Jewish people back Jerusalem in 1967. We're beginning to see more and more fulfillment of all the prophecies spoken by all the prophets. And these are signs, people. These are signs that Messiah is coming back. The Jewish people are in control of Israel again. They have Jerusalem again. Jerusalem is becoming a trembling pot for all the nations. All the nations. Everything's focusing on. Is the U.S. going to move the embassy to Jerusalem? How dare they? This is the Palestinian capital. All the nations screaming and yelling. And it's going to be leading to the time when the anti-Messiah is going to come proclaiming peace, bringing peace. And it's going to be a false peace that he brings. And it's going to deceive many people. Be ready and be prepared for these days. They're coming sooner than you think. The 70 years of that Babylonian captivity were punishment because the Jewish people failed 70 times to keep the Shemitah year. Every seventh year, a year of release, they failed 70 times to do it. So, okay, 70 times you didn't do it. Okay, 70 times, 70 years, you're going to be slaves in Babylon. Thank you, Lord. During the captivity, God caused the land to receive its rest, finally, remaining desolate for the 70 years. Not fulfilling the Shemitah, the Shabbat year, and the Yovel, the Jubilee year, was a symptom of Israel's diseased spiritual condition. The sign of the covenant, the Torah, became a curse to them, because the Torah speaks of blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And they chose to receive the curses because they were disobedient. But you know what? This is the reason that the Messiah, Yeshua, came. He came to renew the covenant, only on better terms this time, reverting back to the original intention, making it a blessing now rather than a curse. Through Yeshua, God's word, his Torah from the beginning, can be a blessing to us, because Yeshua is the word of God made in the flesh. Through him, through Yeshua, all things are renewed. All things are refreshed. All things become new again. In the book of Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, Hebrews 8, 6 says, "But the ministry Yeshua has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator, superior to the old one, and is founded on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, 'The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah.'" And this is important scripture to know, because when you speak to a Jewish people, they'll say, "Where does it ever say in the Bible that there's going to be a new covenant?" Or in English, we might say a New Testament. Where does it say that anywhere? It says right here. Right here. And this is taken from the book of Jeremiah. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." From Jeremiah, and it's being quoted in the book of Hebrews chapter 8. I remember we had the Aron Kodesh, the ark that we had in our synagogue in El Paso. It had written in Hebrew, right here at the bottom, this verse from Hebrews chapter 8, which corresponded to the verse in the book of Jeremiah. And it said on here, on the right on the ark, in the Hebrew, "The time is coming," or "Behold, Hine," it said, "declares the Lord, where I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." That was an example what God is doing. He's renewing, he's refreshing his covenant with us. There is a relationship between Israel correctly following God in faith and the people of Israel living and being in their land again, and the temple of Israel standing. Now, two of these are only in partial fulfillment today. We have a remnant of faith and some being in the land. In other words, we have some, which I believe are messianic believers in the land. We have some. That's only a partial fulfillment of all Israel being saved. And then we only have part of the Jewish people, just a part of them in Israel. So both of these things are only partially being fulfilled. But the temple is completely missing. There's no temple in the land. And there has to be a third temple to bring all these things together again, and bringing about the return of Messiah. I've heard speculation that there's going to be various agreements so that Israel can get the Temple Mount back. In fact, if Israel goes to a two-state solution and gives East Jerusalem to the Palestinians, that maybe there'll be a deal to build the temple, you know, some kind of deal. And that's, That's not going to be a deal made by God. That's going to be of the anti-Messiah, of the evil one. That's not of God. But the temple is missing. But there are plans underway to build it, and it's going to take place. I can't tell you when, but it's the plans are there. It's people are getting ready. The architectural plans are there. Everything is in place for it to take place when God allows it or releases that time. The tikkun olam, the restoration, the unification of the upper and the lower worlds, the heavens and the earth, can only occur after all three of these pillars are in place. The Jewish people back in the land, the Jewish people serving Messiah in the temple in place. This is going to happen when the temple and the sacrificial system are restored. And it's going to happen before you know it. What is needed for sacrifice? You need the priesthood, redemption of Israel's firstborn that was lost during the sin of the golden calf and accomplished through Yeshua's death, and then the physical possession of the land. And the Yovel year, that year of Jubilee, the sounding of the ram's horn, is the culmination of everything achieved in the 49 years leading up to it. And we've had 49 years leading up to Israel having Jerusalem. I don't know what that means. There's lots of speculation. The year we're in now is 5777. God's perfect number, 777. If you were at the casino, you'd win the big jackpot, wouldn't you? 777. Or maybe you need 4, I don't know. But something's taking place. Something's taking place. I can feel it. I can sense it. God is doing something. We need to be ready and be prepared for that time. And now, we're also in the 49 days. Just like the Jubilee, we're counting off the 49th year to the 50th year Jubilee. We are counting off now, aren't we? We're counting the days of the Omer. And what was it today? What number? Anyone? 39? 39 today. We're counting to that day, which is like a Jubilee, the day of Shavuot, which was a day of freedom for the early believers. It was a day of liberty because God allowed them to receive the Ruach, His breath, His life into their bones, and they were transformed and they were changed. They were not the same people anymore. They were full of God's might and God's power to proclaim the Word of God with faith and boldness. And we're in just in a few days, we're coming to that point as well of Shavuot. I'm not saying we're going to have some great miracle and thunder and lightning, but maybe we will. Maybe God wants something to take place in your life. Maybe He wants to transform you. Maybe He wants you to be totally turned upside down and inside out. But we're counting because you count because you're looking toward and forward to something. You're counting. You're counting because something's going to happen. And He's saying, during that time, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for that time. And we know that Shavuot, which we're coming up to, is significant in both the first covenant of Scripture and then the second covenant. The first time in Mount Sinai, God gave us His Word, which was life. Then 2,000 years ago, in the second chapter of Acts, God gave us His Spirit both days. On Shavuot, on the same day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And Shavuot, some people say, well, that's where the church started on that day of Shavuot. Or the body of Messiah started. We need to be ready for what God is going to do. We need to believe in things like the things that took place on the day of Shavuot 3,500 years ago and 2,000 years ago when those believers were in the upper room or wherever they were and that Spirit came upon them. We have to believe for the same thing. We need to believe for the fire. I desire the fire of God to come into my life. And I want the fire of God to come into each one of your lives. We can't be settling for just a little bit or a little piece of God. I want all of God. I want all that God has for me. I want it all. I want it all. And we need to be seeking and we need to be desiring to have the fullness and all that God has for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. What is what's known as the gospel? Or people call it the good news. What is that message? You know, the standard Christian response to that has to do with, if you ask a lot of Christians, they'll say, or believers, it's the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Messiah. And an individual attaining salvation by putting their faith in Him. They say that's the gospel. However, the New Covenant tells us that Yeshua and His Talmudim, His disciples, already were preaching the good news before these events even took place. So the gospel, the good news, is not a new message. Not a message that's new that took place in the New Testament. In a wider sense, it is everything that the Torah points to the Messiah, to what's known as Tikkun Olam, as I mentioned, the restoration, the unification of the upper and the lower worlds, of the heaven and earth being restored together once again. Specifically, it also relates to the Yovel, the Jubilee, which was a foreshadowing of the acceptable year of the Lord. Yeshua pointed to this when He was in the temple and He read from the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And we see that in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 14, where we read that Yeshua returned to Galilee in the power of the Ruach, in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread throughout all the countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised Him. He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and on the Shabbat, it says, He went into the synagogue, was as His custom, and He stood up to read, and He took out the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which was handed to Him. And unrolling it, He found a place where it is written, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for all the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then He rolled up the scroll, it says, and He gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down. And it says that everyone's eyes were looking upon Him. Everyone was staring at Him intently. And he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is what Yeshua wants released in our lives. That freedom proclaimed. To bring the recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to heal every sickness and every disease, to restore us to Tikkun Olam, to the heavens, and the earth be restored to one another again, rather than there being a gap and a separation between God and man. Restored. Yeshua's words are reiterating the things that the Messiah was prophesied to do within the first covenant scripture. He is saying, I am the Messiah. I have come to initiate the Yovel. I have come to initiate freedom and release for your life. This is the good news. That is what the good news is. Yes, Yeshua came. He preached. He was sacrificed, buried, resurrected. Yes, that's fact. But the good news is that Yeshua has come to bring about the Yovel, the release and the restoration between heaven and earth, between God and man. That's what the good news is. And he wants to bring that release in each one of your lives. We just have to be willing to accept it and believe him and trust him that he has the best for us. And when we talk about release, we have to be willing to release our lives. Not to hold anything back. Get rid of the fears that you have. We have fears where we don't want to give everything to God. We want to hold back. Maybe we don't trust God for our lives and our well-being. Whatever it is that's keeping you and holding you from serving God and releasing your fullness of your life to him. I proclaim Yovel, freedom and release for you in the name of Yeshua. That you be freed and released. That's the good news. He came to release you and to free you from every bondage and every sickness and every disease and restore you to right relationship to God. That's the good news. And as we continue in these counting, these 49 days of counting the Omer, leading up to Shavuot, are you ready? Are you ready physically, spiritually, to be set free and released from your captivity? Are you ready to do? Just don't say, yeah, yeah. Are you really ready? Are you ready to put aside who you are and what you are and give everything you have and all that you are to God? As we approach Shavuot, we need to prepare our hearts to be released from the burdens of sin, that we might receive that release from sickness and disease that's binding us. That's the good news. I tell you again that Yeshua came to release you from your chains, from the bondage to the evil one, to set you free from all sin and sickness and disease. That's the good news. That's the release. That's the Yovel. That's the liberty that he came to proclaim as he stood in the synagogue and read from Isaiah 61. And as you trust, as we all trust in the Messiah and the work accomplished through his resurrected life, the fullness of his spirit, the Ruach can be released in us. We need to let God's Ruach, his spirit, be released in our lives. We need to understand who the Spirit is, why he came, what God wants to do in our life. The power that is in each one of us. There's power in us that Yeshua wants to release. The Yovel, the releasing and the setting of you to be free. That we can walk in newness of life. And just as Yeshua called out Lazarus from that tomb. And he said, Lazarus, come forth! When he came forth, he had the grave clothes on him, wrapped in those grave clothes. A lot of us, even though we may be believers, we haven't unwrapped. We haven't removed the grave cloths on us. We still have the deadness of our own lives, our sin within us. We need to remove all the grave clothes from us. Unwrap them, release them, set us free. That we can truly be new creations in the Messiah. I'm just trusting and believing that we're going to experience a Yovel, a release. We're counting 49 days, the Yovel 49 years, we're counting. It speaks of release. People, get ready for it. Take off your grave clothes and be ready for what God is going to do. Thank you, O God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Lord, we desire for you to remove from us the stink, the stench of death. When we were once dead in our sin, we know your word says Messiah died for us. While we were yet sinners, Messiah died.